Exodus chapter number 4. We're going to start at verse number 1. Exodus chapter number 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. God, I do pray that you'd help us this morning as we look in your word. And just a thought, Lord, maybe a challenge that we can take from your word. And God, I do pray that you guide my thoughts. God, help me to do exactly what I ought to. Help me to say what I ought to say. Lord, I do pray that you just guide my thoughts, Lord. You have to help me this morning, and Lord, I pray that you help my voice. Lord, I pray that you help all the Sunday school teachers as they teach. I pray that you would just give them a quietness in their class. Thank you for the safety you give us on the way here this morning. I pray that you'd bless the services to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus chapter number 4, we have the story of, kind of the call of Moses. And, Moses had an interesting background. Moses had an interesting life. He grew up in Pharaoh's house. He kind of went from the very top down to, from the son, the surrogate son of Pharaoh, down to a shepherd. And, there's nothing wrong with shepherds. There's nothing. And I think if you look at the Bible, most of the people that God used, God called out of those type of positions. He called the shepherds, he called the herdsmen, he called the farmers, he called those type of people to come serve him. I'm not saying he didn't use kings, but even the kings that he used the most many times, David came from the sheepfold. And so we see that in the life of Moses. But Moses here in chapter number 3, he has already gone up to the burning bush in chapter number 3, and God has given him what he wants him to do. He's given him the call to go back to the land of Egypt and to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, out of bondage. And so God has already called Moses in Exodus chapter number 3. And in chapter number 4, we see a reaction of Moses. I want you to notice this because, folks, this is our reaction. And I'm just going to say this is my reaction. Most of the time when God asks us to do something or God asks us to go out of our comfort zone, this is our reaction, okay? And the first thing we have is we want to, oh, God, I just can't do that. That's not me, okay? God, I don't have that ability, all right? And we see that here in Exodus chapter number 4. If you look at verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." So here's his excuse. He said, God, they're not going to listen to me. Why would they listen to me? They're going to say, God didn't speak to you. God didn't come to you. And you know, that is very much our human tendency. You know, the operation occupation or anything that God asks us to do, many times our reaction to that is, well, I, I'm not cut out to that. I'm not made to do that. I'm just a shepherd here. I can't go lead a people. But you know, it's interesting when God calls somebody, he often calls them to use the same things that they've already been using. And I want to talk about that this morning. So we see in verse number 4, Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And folks, in all of our lives, my life included, God's going to come and ask us to do things that we don't want to do, quite honestly. All right? There's a certain comfort. I grew up farming. There's a certain comfort. You know, I just sit in a tractor all day and drive. I don't have to deal with people. You know, I don't have to deal with all that stuff. And but when God asks you to do something, this is our excuse. This is what happens. So we're going to look at this and look at verse number 2. And this is where we're going to kind of draw our message from. Sorry, I apologize. Verse number 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand?" And I'm going to look at this question. I got taken up with the questions, and I'm going to sometime probably do a Sunday school, all the Sunday school for a while. But questions that God ask. I want you to think about questions that God ask. Now, I believe that God's omniscient. And what does that mean? God knows everything, right? God knows everything that's going to happen. God knows everything that will happen. He knows he is the source of all knowledge. So why in the world would God ask a question? God knows what was in Moses' hand. All right? He knew who Moses was. He knew what Moses was composed of because God created him. And you know what, folks? God created each and every one of us. He knows what's in our heart when no one else can know what's in our heart. He knows what our abilities are, and he knows very much our frailties. God knows all that. But sometimes I think God asks us questions not because God wants to know, but because he wants us to know. Okay? And I want you to think about this truth. And it's just a truth this morning, something that you can take with you. Because, like I said, God's going to ask every one of us. If we're in tune with him, God's going to ask us to do something that really isn't what we want to do. It really isn't within our scope of comfort. It isn't within our realm of, all right, I feel comfortable. I can do that. All right? And God asked Moses, "What is in thine hand?" Verse number 2, and he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. This is a tool that Moses had used. All right? Moses knew how to use a rod. You know, I'm sure he had to use it on the sheep. He had to know how to defend the sheep maybe against a predator. He had to know how, you know, on those rocky crags to be able to use that rod as a stability thing. He depended on that rod. I mean, I think of when I helped the Waltons with loadout. You know, we got those shakers, and they're not quite as long as this pole. All right? They're about that long, probably, what? Something like that. And you know what we do? Many times, you know, you're standing out there behind a bunch of stupid turkeys for hours at ungodly hours of the night, all right? And you know what you do at some point? You know, you start doing this. You start leaning on it. And that sometimes you close your eyes, all right? The shorter ones, I'll stick them back here behind me, and I'll kind of lean back against them and almost like sit on them, on the top of them. And you know what you're doing? You're leaning on that pole. You're relying on that pole to hold you up. You know, I'm sure that many times in Moses' life, there was that time when he was tired. In his shepherd duties, he was tired. And I'm sure there was times that he would just lean on that pole. And he trusted in that pole. He knew what that pole was made out of. But when he threw that pole on the ground, and that thing became a snake, that was something that, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not real scared of snakes. I like seeing them before they see me, all right? But if that thing became a snake, that would be, I don't know. I'm not sure what I would do. Because Moses, you know, we read the Bible and, well, yeah, it's going to become a snake. Moses didn't know that. He throws that thing, and, you know, you got a 7-foot pole or a 6-foot pole, and it becomes a 6-foot snake. All right? And then God says, grab it by the tail, or grab it. So he grabs and goes down and grabs it by the tail. Now, most of you, you know, if you're going to catch a snake, you don't generally grab him by the tail. You want to get him right behind the head. And so he grabs it by the tail, and it becomes a rod in his hand again. And God said, I want you to use that as a sign that I sent you. It was something that Moses was familiar with, but it was going to be used in an extraordinary way. Okay? And everything, you know, and then Moses said, well, I can't talk. All right? I can't speak in front of people. And Moses, and God said, well, I'll send Aaron with you. But you know, you look at the Bible, Aaron didn't really do much talking after this point. God did the talking, all right? Look at verse 9 and verse number 11. I want to show you this because he made the excuse of not being able to talk. So God, you know, first he said, they're not going to listen to me because they don't think I sent you. He's like, well, just throw your rod on the ground. It'll become a snake. And they're going to start listening real fast. All right? But verse number 11, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, listen to this. Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. I think of the verse in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, and we get to this place in our lives when we, God, I can't do that. I just can't, I'm not equipped to do that. And God says, who made your mouth? Who made your hands? I just can't go anymore. Who made your feet? God, I can't speak. Who made your mouth? God, I can't do. Who made your hands? All right? And I believe that the God that made us knows us better than anyone. All right? But it's still, you know, I think it's still interesting. He came back to that rod. He said, what is in thine hand? And like I said, folks, God knew what was in his hand. But I think God wanted Moses to know what was in his hand. And you know, folks, God's going to ask every one of us to do something that's outside of what we want to do. But God says, what's in your hand? All right? And here's the, you know, so I want you to, first of all, you need to know the importance of what God has given you. All right? Listen, folks, there's, I don't know how many people are in here, 50 people, all right, something like that, I don't know. But God has given to every one of us something different. God didn't create every one of us the same. Not any one of us is exactly the same. I went down with Brother Levi down to the mine last Sunday night. And, you know, I walk in there every one of you have a certain sphere of influence, okay? You're respecting a certain group of people, all right? I have a certain sphere that when somebody would say, oh, it's Chad Gordon, something comes to their mind, okay? And you do too. You've got a certain sphere of influence. And most people say I work fairly hard. But you know, and you go down to a mine like that, and you're going in, and there's all these miners. They're dressed like miners. You know, some of you have been in it. And I went down there, and I feel like I could work just as hard as any of them, right? I feel like I, given some time, I could probably do their job. You know, if I was trained, I could do their job. But you know, the only person that they really saw with respect was the guy that was standing beside me that was dressed like a coal miner. Listen, folks, there's not too many. Let's say there's 850 guys down there. All right? There's 800, let's say 850. I don't know how many of them this would be true of. But 850 guys call him preacher. Some of them probably do it out of spite. Some of them do it just because that's the nickname. You know, you go to a mine and Brother Val, you know, they've all got nicknames. But Brother Val and Brother Levi have an outstanding testimony down there. Outstanding. Okay? And I'm not, there's other guys out there too. I'm not saying that. But those two guys, if you say their name, all right, let me ask you this. How many preachers around here have 850 guys that call them, hey, preacher? Yeah, I know maybe he's not called to preach, but every one of us can be an example of what that ought to represent in your sphere of influence, okay? You know what he's doing? He's using what's in his hand. He's using what's in his hand. And he's going out and he's doing something for God that honestly I can't do. Brother Val, he does it. He does it down there. He's got a stellar reputation. But they don't know who I am. They have no clue who I am. All right? Every one of us is given something in our hands. Now, I want you to think about this. Everyone's thing is different. You know what I love about the Bible is God very rarely does the same thing the same way. Okay? For instance, let's go to Judges chapter number 4. Judges chapter number 4. Forgive me if I stumbled some this morning. Like I said, I wasn't really, didn't have all this. I just jotted all this down right before I come. My mom and Miss Kim were laughing at me back there. I'm frantically searching through my concordance for references. Judges chapter number 4, we have the story of one of the judges, Deborah and Barak, all right? But there is another lady in this story. There's another lady in this story. And listen, ladies, you have something in your hand too. You have something in your hand. You know, I think especially, you know, I know we got the young adults in here. You know, I think for most young adult ladies, you know, the most important thing that you have in your hand is your motherhood. You can change the world by being the mother that you ought to be. You know, and that's, you know, well, I'm not able, but what are you doing? With the ability that you have to train, you don't train up a child in the way he should go. You don't know what that child's going to do. I don't think John Wesley's mother knew what he was going to be when he grew up. All right? D.L. Moody's mother didn't know. Billy Sunday's mother didn't know. All right? But Jael, we have the story of Jael here. And I want you to go to, I think I said Judges chapter number 4. And look at verse number 17. The Bible says, "Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, 'Turn in, my lord, turn in to me. Fear not.'" That's dangerous. "Fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, 'Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty.' And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him." All right. A very hospitable woman. Very hospitable. She covered him up with a blanket. She tucked him into bed. He asked for water and she gave him milk. All right. I mean, she went above and beyond the call of duty. And verse number 20, "And he said unto her, 'Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, Is there any man here? That thou shalt say, No.'" And at some point here, he fell asleep, sound asleep. All right. "Then Jael," verse 21, "Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent," all right, "and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary." And then the Bible makes kind of a no-brainer statement here, "So he died." Yeah, I would think so, all right? I would think so. Now, I have weird stuff in my office, I know. I got PVC pipe and large nails. But, you know, I'm thinking, all right, you got to have a significant nail. You know, you think about a guy's head, all right? Now, I don't have a huge head, but You have to have a large enough nail to drive it through both temples. And the Bible says you just need to drive it through both temples. She fastened them to the ground. All right? Now, that's a pretty amazing woman. All right? Amazon woman or something. I don't know what she was. But, you know, I don't think so, though. You know, in my mind, I don't see people in the Bible as being, I don't see people in the Bible as being superhuman strength. I see a little housewife that comes out and she, you know, real sweetly, she tucks him into bed. You know, he had no suspicion that he was about to get hammered, literally, all right? He didn't have any suspicion. He tucked him into bed and she gave him some milk and then, you know, he falls asleep and she, you know, he pins his head to the ground. All right. Later on they come by looking for him. And he's like, oh, he's in here. You know, I don't think those guys really expected to see. I think they maybe were coming into the tent with the intent to have to fight. I don't think they expected to see him nailed to the ground. All right. But you know what? God didn't ask Jael to use Moses' rod. God asked Jael to use what she had. What did Jael have? Hospitality. She knew how to make a man comfortable. And I don't know what was going through her mind this whole time. We don't have record of that. But she knew how to make that guy at ease. All right, just lay him down here. Bam! Drive it through his head. Now, I mean, even you drove some large tents. I mean, just talking tent stakes. I mean, that's basically what she was using was a tent stake. It took some effort to drive it through his head. But she did it. She did it. But you know, God didn't ask her to use Moses' rod. He asked her to use what she had in her tent. Well, I can't do that because I don't have... You don't have what? You've got exactly what God has given you. I've got exactly what God has given me. I don't try to be somebody else. I don't try to, you know, come up with a new plan on how to, well, I just got to be exactly. No, I am who God made me to be. You are who God made you to be. What do you have in your hand? Okay? What do you have in your hand? I think of Gideon, Judges chapter number 7. Go to Judges chapter number 7. And you think of the story of Gideon and you remember how the story, and I'm not probably going to read all this, but look at verse number 16. The Bible says, and he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. Okay? So we've got the story here of Gideon, and we know that there was a time that Gideon, he actually gathered a fairly large group of men to go fight. And God said, what'd he say? That's too many. You got to send some of them home. And so Gideon, okay. So he sent some of them home. And then God said, well, that's still too many. We need a fewer. Okay. So he tested them and some of them, he sent the rest of them home. And he's left with 300 men. And verse number 16, the Bible says he divided the 300 men into three companies. 100 men per company, put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. All right? Listen, God didn't ask Gideon to use hammers and nails to go fight the Midianites. God didn't ask Gideon to use Moses' rod to go fight the Midianites. God said, Gideon, what do you got? All right? You remember what Gideon was? He was threshing wheat. He was hiding it and threshing wheat. And I think Gideon maybe looks around his threshing floor and he said, well, we ain't got many swords. They've taken all those. You know, I mean, that was true of the Philistines. I mean, that was the first gun or weapon confiscation. Think about that, folks. And that's just a shot over the bow. And I know everybody agrees with that. But they start taking your weapons away. You're not left with nothing to fight with. All right. And that's where it. But you know what? God said, what do you got? He's like, well, I got some lamps to keep it light in here, and I got some pots and pans, and we got some trumpets. It's like, that'll work. That'll work. I just need 300 men, and that's all you got to have. And you know what, God, and it wasn't the fact that they started bashing people over the head with the pots and pans, all right? No, God started to work. You know, it wasn't the fact that Moses had a rod and he defeated the whole nation of Egypt with a rod. It was that he was willing to use what he had in his hand. It wasn't the fact that Jael beat everyone. I think it was Amalek. I may be wrong. That whole army, it wasn't that Jael beat them all, started pinning people to the ground. But she used what she had in her hand, and God allowed her to put the final touches on a victory. Okay? Gideon just used what he had. And God said, I want you to use that. Go over to Judges chapter number, let's go to Judges chapter 15. Judges chapter 15. Judges chapter 15, look at verse number 14. Bible says, and when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his hands and his bands loosed from off his hands, and he found a new jawbone of an ass. And he put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. You know what? God didn't ask Samson to go use pitchers and lamps and trumpets. God didn't ask Samson to use a nail and a hammer. God didn't even ask Samson to say, well, if you don't have the rod of God that Moses had, I'm sorry, you're just a normal human being. You're just a layman because you don't, listen, you know what God said? I want you to use what, Samson, Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. He was tied up. He bust his bands asunder and he started looking around. I don't have a weapon. And he looks over and I don't know what happened to this donkey. All right, I don't know why this donkey was dead. But there was a jawbone sitting there. Now you think about this. I'd say there's very few men, I mean, short of a bomber pilot dropping a bomb or something like that, there's very few men that have single-handedly, in the course of the United States of America, single-handedly killed 1,000 men with any weapon. Let alone, I'm talking, on a bomb. I mean, even a machine gunner. You kill 1,000 men, I mean, you would be well-recognized. All right? And this guy did it with a jawbone. Okay? I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he was using the teeth side of the jawbone or if he was using, I don't know. But this guy was pretty cool. All right? But, God didn't ask him to use what somebody else had. He asked him to use, what do you got right now, Samson? Samson just looks around. Well, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, but here's a donkey. Right? And he grabs what he had. I think of Ehud in the Bible, a left-handed man. And that's very important. Because you know what he, amen, brother? You know what Ehud did? A typical person that's right-handed, you would carry your sword on your left-hand side. So you draw it like this, all right? And I think when people went in to see the king, they kind of did a weapon search. They pat him down. But because most people were right-handed, they made sure they checked the right side, or the left side. Ehud was left-handed, so he put his on the opposite side. Didn't check it. And you know what? Ehud, the Bible said he had to make his. He had to make his own weapon. You know what, folks? God uses people in the Bible. Yeah, does God use the Samson that just picks something up and starts swinging? Yeah. But God also uses craftsmen. God uses people that have a trade. God uses people that know what they're doing. And Ehud made himself a blade. And if you've never, I've messed with it, metallurgy some, and I know the process. I know what goes into it. He had to have the knowledge of how to do that. Okay? He had to have that knowledge. And he made that blade specifically, and he never got it back, unfortunately. It got swallowed up in fat, all right? It got swallowed up in fat. He never got it back. But because he was willing to use the skills that God has given him and just do what God laid on his heart to do, He was able to free the children of Israel from that bondage. Okay? Listen, folks, the man Bezalel, I'm a big fan of Bezalel in the Bible. You go to Exodus. You know what Bezalel was? Was he Moses? No. Was he an Aaron? No. Was he a Joshua? No. But he was a man skilled in what God had given him to do. He was the man that built, basically, the tabernacle. He had everything. His mind worked overtime. He was the guy that said, all right, the pastor came and said, I got to do this. That's all he said. I want this done. Well, how do we do this? How does it function? How does it work? Okay? And God used him. Now, isn't it? But you know what? The same Spirit of God that filled Moses was the same Spirit of God that filled Bezalel. The same Spirit of God that filled a Moses or a David was the same Spirit of God that filled Samson. It's the same Spirit, and it's available to all of us. What's in your hand? What do you have? Okay? Stop looking at, all right, well, I'm just not cut out to be this. Listen, I'm not cut out to be here. All right? But I want with all my heart to say, God, this is what I've got in my hand. Who can you reach that I would never be able to reach? Who can you influence that I would never be able to influence? I think of David and Goliath. David and Goliath. David had just a slingshot. A slingshot and some stones. He didn't have Moses' rod. He didn't have Jael's hammer and nails. He didn't have Ehud's sword. In fact, David didn't have a sword at all. He had to borrow one from the guy he killed. He didn't have all that stuff. But you know what he did have? He had something that probably for hours, and I believe this with all my heart, I think David was a proficient shot with a slingshot. But he had used it. He knew what it was. He even went into Saul's. Remember this? He went into Saul's to see King Saul. And Saul tried to put all of his stuff on David. But you know the problem was? That's not what God had given David. If David would have went out there to try to do something with someone else's equipment, he would have failed. Folks, you can't do something else with someone else's equipment. All right? You need to be who God made you to be, and you need to do what God wants you to do. You can reach people that only you can reach. Okay? You've got talents that I don't have. All right? Pastor can do things. Pastor can do things that I would never even hope to do. He can touch groups of people I will never be able to touch. But you know what? God's not asked me to do what he's doing. Okay? But what's God given to you? What's God given to you? I think of, and I don't have references for all this, I apologize. I'm just pulling out Bible stories. I think of Esther. Think of Esther. Brother Chad, who did she kill? Well, she killed Haman. Listen, ladies, you know how she did it? And this is, I don't know, maybe this is carnal. Whatever. She did it because of her beauty and charm. She killed a guy. Think about that. She didn't fight him herself. She wasn't Jael, okay? I think if you saw a picture, in my mind, if you saw a picture of Jael and Esther, there would be a stark contrast. To my mind, Jael would be very simple, okay? Honestly, probably looks older than her years because of all the hard work. I mean, living in that time period was hard. Okay, the things that she had to do, they don't have modern conveniences like we do. Esther, on the other hand, was given every benefit of royalty. Everything. You know, honestly, the reason that Ahasuerus picked her wasn't because, it was nothing except for, in my opinion, well, God, obviously, but her beauty. And not just her beauty, there was her spirit too. Because I want you to think about this. It's like Pastor talked when he was talking about Sarah. And I hope you've listened to that message. But, you think about those maidens were giving everything that they needed to make themselves the most beautiful person here. But there's something in here too. And you know what saved the entire Jewish nation was one lady's willingness to say, all right, what did Mordecai say? You've been put into this kingdom for such a time as this. And you know, and folks, I wasn't born in the 1920s. I wasn't born in the 1970s. I was put here for such a time as this. And don't ever think, well, you know what we are? We're like Moses. And we want to make excuses, but then ultimately, God, it always comes back to what this one question that God asked Moses, what is in thine hand? What has God given you? What has God given you to do? What has God given you to be? Okay? And I think every one of us, whether it's, you know, my age and younger, or our senior saints, you know, God still has a purpose. God still has a plan. And if we're willing and we say, all right, this is what I got. This is the energy I've got, God. I don't have any more energy than this. God says, all right, if you'll give it to me, I'll. But you know, every one of these people, think about this and we'll be done. Every one of these people had to take a step of faith in order to be used the way God wants. Moses had to throw the rod on. God's told him, throw it on the ground. He had to obey. All right? Samson could have looked around and been like, well, all I got here is a jawbone of a donkey. I'm just going to give up. He said, no, this is what God's given me. I'm going to use it. Gideon been like, well, I don't know. Why in the world do I have lamps and pitchers and trumpets? He said, no, this is what God said to do. I'm going to go do it. Right? Ehud could have complained his whole life that he wasn't, you know, well, I'm just not like everyone else. I'm left-handed. You know what he said? He said, this is something that God has made me different than everyone else. I'm going to go use it. I'm going to use it. You're either going to use it or you're going to lose it. Use it or lose it. And the choice is up to us. Choice is up to us. God gives, in my belief. You look through the Bible and it's true. You know, God didn't come to that little lad and that, you know, that little, I think even one of the disciples said, well, God, was it Andrew? I think it may have been Andrew. They came to Jesus and said, God, here's this little lad and he's got, I forget now, there's two different, he's got some loaves and two small fishes. And then Andrew said, but what is that among so many? And God said, that's what you got in your hand, isn't it? Go make the people sit down. Oh, okay. So they made them all sit down. And you know what God did? God came in and worked. It's not about, well, we just got to have to figure out how to feed all these people. It's about, what do you got in your hand? And then let God do the rest. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, pray that you would just help us to take this truth, God. It's been on my heart. Questions that God asks. And God, I pray that you'd help us to take it. Help us to use it in our lives to be better for you. And Lord, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for just meeting with us. God, I pray that you help the services to follow. I pray that you'd be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done. And help our people, Lord. We've got good, good people here. And God, you've given every one of us something different. That's why it's called the body of Christ. It's we are very much a body. It's every member is important. It's important that every member is here this morning. And Lord, I pray that we would work together as a body, that we would see something wonderful done, amazing done, and use what we have in our hand. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.